Coaching Impact Radio, informative conversation by coaches for coaches with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. Today, via the miracle of modern technology, we travel to the beautiful Isle of Ireland. Connor Hogan has a unique coaching niche, coaching children. Today, we find out about this fascinating field, as well as, I'm sure, the state of the coaching profession in Ireland, in case you're looking for a change in venue. Hey there.
Hey there to you too.
Thank you.
I am very excited about today's conversation because this is the first time we've had on our show an opportunity to really connect with somebody who is working with children, with the younger among us. And I think that is such an exciting area for us to be exploring. I always fashioned myself personally as maybe, you know, growing up someday to become a teacher. And it wasn't because I had this great yen for academia or this great yen for, you know, massive amounts of children. It was because I really felt that we were sort of missing primary life skills in the traditional education system, and that it would be so powerful to bring that in. And here, our guest today, Connor. Connor, you are doing that. You're bringing these life skills, this awareness to children from a coaching perspective, of course, that I didn't even know existed back then. But now it's so important. Let's start off with the big question, which is, what drew you to coaching? And I guess the sub question of what really drew you to teaching and coaching children. So where do you want to start with that question?
Oh, God. Right. So basically, about 15 years ago or so, I had a lot of physical injuries. I was playing a lot of sports when I was younger. And I was just kind of getting into teaching, just doing a little bit of voluntary work and stuff. And as I say, you know, my personal life, I was having a lot of physical problems and that. Basically, the child or the life coaching as such came about as I was kind of, I qualified as a teacher and I was going around different schools. And unfortunately, there wasn't any long-term full-time work. So I was just doing a couple of months here or a couple of weeks there. And just by going in around different schools, I was kind of, the one thing you'd notice is the behavior. And similarly, I was doing a lot of voluntary work then for youth programs and out of school type things like sports and youth cafes and things like that. And again, that was, you know, children and young people that were away from the traditional kind of school pressures of, you know, all academics and doing exams and having to sit there and open the book and do that. Rather, this was like a kind of a social hangout space for them. So I was doing voluntary work on that, and it all kind of came together where when you are looking for a cure or healing for yourself, if you're that desperate and traditional medicine or whatever doesn't seem to work for you, that you begin to just open your mind up and say, look, I just need anything, whatever helps. And then you just start reading. And so life coaching was just kind of coming into Ireland maybe about 7, 8, 9 years ago. And I remember hearing, first type thing I heard about a life coach was a friend of mine whose parent was quite ill, and she wasn't a very old or elderly woman at all, but they just couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And someone had suggested, and it was a bit of a joke at the time, to send her to a life coach. And so that was the running joke for a little while. So, you know, that's only within 10 years. And yeah, but I just find that there's such a lack of coordination with resources and that being put into schools. You know, you've wonderful teachers out there, you've fantastic principals, and you've just, you know, a short-staffed public service in that regard. And, you know, a lot of them see problems, but they just literally, if you know, if you have an overcrowded classroom, and we're up into the mid-30s in per teacher ratio here, so you know, if you have 35 in some schools, the European average, I think, is something like, or the European average that's supposed to be, is about 14 for one for each teacher. So 14 as opposed to 30 or 35 is a lot of a difference. So you can imagine the child that has just got a problem at home, or one little issue even, a lack of confidence, or, you know, being bullied or whatever. Even the best of teachers cannot spend the time, even the one-to-one with them.
For sure. So
that's where I just, you know, I just saw it all coming into focus like that. And, you know, there's so much knowledge in psychologies and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, it's about techniques and it's about being able to use the techniques. And I think that with children, they're very adaptable.
Yes.
And I think, you know, if a small problem comes, such as, you know, being bullied, not a small problem, far from it, bullying, but if a small, you know, name-calling thing happens or something like that, if you can nip it in the bud with a child, they're great. They'll have tears, but straight away, if you can open them up about it and just address the issue with the techniques that you have, you can actually straight away put them right back on the right track for them. And a couple of months later, they won't even remember it. And it's,
yeah,
I think it's so important. And, you know, there's just so much prevalence of a lot of things that are going wrong now with children, and a lot of pressures that weren't there even 20 years ago, and certainly weren't there 20, 40, 60 years ago for even parents or grandparents' time. So it's a brand new ball game that people in Europe and the Western world are kind of dealing with, really, you know, with a faster, more convenient world, you know.
For sure. You know, it's interesting you say that about children being able to adapt so quickly, because I remember this was one of my very first kind of entree points into personal development back in the 80s. I took a workshop from an organization, and it was, you know, kind of your standard personal development workshop weekend thing. And one of the segments was, they were having, you know, people ask questions and they would stand up and they would talk about their individual issues. And I remember the facilitator, like, this is burned in my mind. I remember the facilitator saying, last weekend, I led this exact workshop for children between 12 and 17. And I can't tell you how much slower you guys are. and all the adults kind of got, you know, bristled up and a little offended for a second. And she says, no, you don't understand. You guys are so much more attached to your story. You're so much more attached to your ideas being your identity. Yeah. Where when you're working with children, they're so much more open to, oh, am I looking at that wrong? Okay, shake it off. You know, they just are so much more resilient. So I can clearly see probably the experience you have on a daily basis of that level of joy of being able to sort of step in and help make some course corrections or help create some awareness, and then see such such rapid change.
Well, that's it. I mean, if there's so, you know, there's so much development that a child is going through ordinarily, just, you know, all you have to do is look at, I was actually teaching in the last couple of days, and I was teaching a class that I had, I think it was about a year or a year and a half ago, and all you have to do is look at the physical size, you know, of 9 to 10 year olds or whatever. And so you can imagine the emotional development and, I suppose, mental development as well, do you know? So basically, if it's on the wrong track, it can spiral out of control. And if it's on the right track, it can blossom. Simple as that. And, you know, it's not all, of course, down, doom and gloom, because, of course, coaching could be adapted for anybody that's just wanting to get ahead, you know, and they just want to, for example, if you're a teacher or if you have skills with teaching, I don't know, mathematics, and a child wants or a teenager wants to get ready for exams, you can give them strategies and just, you know, keep them focused, because if they aim for a certain amount of exam marks or, you know, pressures to take off them, you can just kind of keep them in check and the focus and give them bi-weekly or whatever coaching sessions, and that means you're going to accelerate their, you know, natural ability. So it's the good and the bad, really, that it can help, which is great.
So I think also listening to you, what I'm hearing, which I think is beautiful, is that you really are open to delivering your coaching to the children in the way that it can be best received by them. And the reason I'm kind of highlighting that is I know in the work that I do with coaches now, since, you know, it's been over a decade working with coaches, is that there's a lot of coaches that get really stuck in thinking that their business needs to look a certain way, that it needs to be checking off certain boxes to fit some sort of universal, this is what a coaching practice template looks like. And I'm one that says, please throw that out. And that it really, it has to do with how you want to deliver and how your clients best receive. So I think that's very interesting. So you're doing some workshops now, you're doing some one-on-ones. Are you doing any classwork? In schools?
Yeah, well, definitely. I have, to be honest, I'm only about 2 or 3 months. The website is only 2 or 3 months up and running, and then we had Christmas in between that. So I'm not targeting schools specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of letting it kind of go online as such and just beginning to do a little bit of advertisement. But I still have had quite a lot of interest.
Good.
Through even tidbits of social media and that, where people have contacted me and they're, you know, telling me about all the different issues that their children and young people are having in their lives and that. I've had a few sessions and I'm doing quite a bit of teaching at the moment as well. But even just to be in the realm of thinking about both things together, absolutely what you're saying there is just, you know, you have to, the bottom line is it's child-centered.
Yes.
And if you can be child-centered, and I mean, be it workshops or one individual child for one individual problem, such as, you know, being bullied or lack of confidence or whatever, if you can group them together, putting 3 or 4 children together, be it online or in person through a workshop or even, you know, a parent per child and coach workshop, mm-hmm. it's going to really, really blossom from there for them. So
that's beautiful.
You asked a question there at the outset, I think, about curriculums and things like that. And, you know, the wish and the will to be a teacher and stuff like that. I mean, here in Ireland, we have, as you know, most departments of education and that, we have a curriculum that's 1999. Now, that was mm-hmm. quite a long time coming, but now it's a brilliant curriculum. It's a really well-rounded curriculum and just part of child kind of social development. Part of it would definitely be, I think we've roughly about, we have 12 subjects and we have one subject out of 12. And that kind of, in a lot of ways, gets the back seat when it comes to personal development, really, you know.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that's in the primary school. Then in the post-primary, in the secondary, what you'd call the high school, we have a little bit more, a couple of subjects, but they're not exactly mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are examinable up until about 14 or 15 years of age. But even still, since they've kind of come more mainstream, we'll say, and there's been more kind of young people choosing to do them as subjects, even still the problems and the pressures are growing on young people. Like, we've had so many suicides here in the last couple of years. It's phenomenal. And youth suicide.
Yes, yes.
I was speaking with
here too, a man, here too.
Yeah. And he's over 80 years of age and, an absolute gentleman. And he was telling me in his lifetime, he'd only seen one or heard of one before age 50, you know, and that's, you know, what's happening in the last 20, 30 years. And now we have youth suicide. We have a place not too far away from me where they had to have people supervising the bridges. On a Friday and Saturday night, volunteers for just teenagers. It was so regular.
Wow.
And that was in the national media maybe about a year ago. So I know that's, we're all looking doom and gloom into this and that, but I mean, the very fact, I suppose, that a society changes and, okay, not everybody is thinking that way, but, and there are a huge amount of happy and brilliant young people and children, no doubt. But if that comes to a head at all, I mean, we really have to start looking at how we're doing things.
For sure.
So, yeah. And I mean, the 1999 curriculum is a brilliant curriculum and we have brilliant teachers. But if your resources are going to be cut, which there have been, even the best of teachers and principals and schools and all that, just, you know, they can only do so much for the well-being of children. And then you've got the likes of, you know, the whole society has changed so much with a huge influx of money, you know, in the 2000s and the Celtic Tiger, and then we were a recession. So does your curriculum, and that's a question, I suppose, from 1999, which is what, 1/12 of the subjects dealing with personal development for children, does that really kind of, is that adaptable to nowadays? You know, again, it's up to the child or the parent or whatever to figure that one out. But all you can do is kind of put a service in place and say it's there if you need it, you know?
For sure. You know, it's there's some pieces to this that I think are emerging as essentials to support. You know, I for decades I listened to, you know, oh, we have to have good, healthy school lunches. We have to have good educational curriculum to get them prepared for mathematics and for linguistics and that sort of thing. All valid, by the way, all valid. But this real crying emergent need for socialization, communication, conflict resolution, and even extending a bit into the therapeutic, you know, the concepts of self-actualization. Certainly, I'm only speaking from a coaching standpoint, but I just so important. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to explore this a little tiny bit deeper, but also talk a little bit about coaching in Ireland on a whole. But before we do that, we're just going to take a real quick break. We will be right back.
Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy, offering life coach training and certification in over 20 specialty categories: life, business, couples, health and wellness, and more. Courses can be completed as self-paced study, live teleclasses, or in-person intensives. Just like our radio program, Impact Coaching Academy is by coaches for coaches. Sign up now for your free membership and receive over 30 hours of training and programming worth thousands of dollars, yours to listen to and enjoy absolutely free. Then set your own path for growth with courses that are starting soon. Check the calendar to see the current offerings. Impact Coaching Academy. Be a part of the impact at impactcoachingacademy.com.
All right, we're coming back. So talking more, again, I want to refer everybody over to your website just really quickly. So childcoach.ie, because as if, you know, we haven't mentioned it enough and the accent isn't a dead giveaway, you are in Ireland.
An accent.
What accent? Yeah. You know, I don't have an accent. You people do.
I can speak Irish if you want, the real Irish brogue, the real Irish language.
No, you'll just make me, you know, long for my travels. I do have to say, and my husband will nod to this, I'm not a collector or a hobbyist. I don't have, like, you know, collections of a porcelain or something. I have like a very short wish list, and Ireland is on my wish list.
That is on her list. I acknowledge that.
I may be coming and knocking on your door in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Well, you know, St. Patrick's Day is on its way, and we all wear green here, and well, everything is green here, and there are no computers, and it's the most perfect land in the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wait, am I not buying it? No. Well, so tell me though, because as you're describing coaching really taking off or starting to take off in Ireland, what do you see that's emerging right now? And what do you think the future for coaching in Ireland is?
Well, I certainly think, you know, I suppose myself personally, I'm thinking 7 to 10 years ago, I would have heard of coaching as such. I don't think people would have, certainly, you know, nobody over 50 years of age would be seeking a coach nowadays for anything. Mm-hmm. That said, I definitely, in the last 2-3 years, have noticed that there's branches off coaching in as much a way as there is branches off coaching in any country, mm-hmm. like the United States or UK and that. So, for example, you've got specialist life coaches for business startups. You've got specialist life coaches for just something you mentioned there for the break, nutrition and that. And you've got specialist life coaches for just about any time, you know, part of life. And people are going to start looking at doing more individualized services like this.
Mm-hmm.
It might be kind of a, I want to say kind of a, it brings forth their education. It kind of is a way of selling their education as such. Because certainly a lot of the courses and education we have in Ireland, and certainly a lot of the job prospects would be, you know, in public service. And other than that, we have a lot of corporations coming in from medical kind of factories and things like that. And other than that, you're a sole trader. And again, there's not a huge amount of confidence still in the economy. So I just think that people will be branching off, and certainly a lot of part-time coaching as well, you know, as well as specialized.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think that that's another piece. We talk about this all the time around coaching circles in general, is the kind of distinction between the part-time coach and the full-time coach. And and for a very long time, I mean, prospectively long, in the coaching industry here in the States, we had this, you know, you have to have this six-figure coaching practice to be successful. Like, that was the definition of success that someone dreamed up and said, this would be good, right? And the truth is, you know, yay money. We're happy with that, please. But there is actually great joy and great fulfillment, as well as great impact, that is created by coaches that are part-time. And that are very happy to be that fits nicely with their other entrepreneurial ventures, the other things that inspire and excite them. And I'm glad that you're seeing that starting to kind of be that way there as well. So some full-time and many others who are part-time.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I can take it at the moment, that if there's, say, for example, if there's more than one startup business coach in any one city, you can take it that they're part-time.
True.
They're there if you need them. But I mean, how many business startups are you going to get?
Right. Yeah. In a smaller country, that is actually a legitimate concern. You know, it's interesting. I learned my own sort of lesson with this. Both my husband and I were born and raised in Southern California, which is a very large metropolis area, even though it has a very, where we were was not city proper as much as it was more suburban, you know, rolling communities. But we lived there for 44 years. And so I was used to this very multicultural, dense population environment. And then we both really wanted to sort of step away from that and move to the trees. Literally, we're out in the forest. And so we moved up country to Washington State, which is right against the Canadian border. And we're in the forest. We're out in this really, really rural. I mean, there's no proper grocery, you know, out here or anything like that. That's like 22 miles away. And we started a coaching group there about 18 months ago. And it was myself plus two other coaches. And I was first of all, shocked that I found two other coaches up here. You know, I was like, what? I was thinking I would be the only one for 100 miles, you know. And we found two. And inside 18 months, we have 50 people, 50 coaches.
Wow.
I know. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And I think that that's part of the challenge for coaches, is we all work so independently, and our work is very intimate and private, that there's not a lot of big public splash. You know, we don't do these giant events where we're live, raw coaching in some town square someplace. And so we have this isolation kind of issue that pops up for us as coaches. And I'm wondering, as you're just starting out, what are you doing to stay connected? Because I think that all coaches who are listening to this would benefit from kind of hearing how different coaches are handling it, or handling getting started, so to speak.
Okay, well, I suppose if you're doing it either part-time or full-time, either or, that, like any business, you got to make sure you're not overspending or over kind of reaching yourself financially. So you're not going to, you've got to be very, very sure whether it's coaching or anything that you're starting off, that you're not going, you know, if you're going to rent an office or something, that you are not spending an awful lot on rent and rates and stuff like that.
Yeah, have a plan.
Yeah, you have to have a really good plan in that regard. So it's a wonderful thing. You're going to help a lot of people, but it's a growing industry. And once you start it, you know, others will start too. And there's no doubt about that. And like you're saying, if you start off, like say, for example, in Ireland, there's just the seeds of different diversities of coaches. So again, you've got business startup coaches or specialist coaches in health and well-being or whatever. So once you start into that, of course, you're leading the light and you're leading the way, but others will come. And so to stay connected, and that's the great thing, I suppose, about Skype from that point of view, stay connected to whoever you're trained with. Even sign up for mentoring with them. Let them mentor you through the process of your startup. And also, I suppose, just because the likes of your website or your country is just there. So if I'm just with Ireland, so it doesn't mean that an American parent can come to me and say, look,
right,
I want to get my child coached by you. That's absolutely welcome and fine and fantastic. You know, because confidence is confidence. And if the issue is a lack of confidence in a certain area, it can be the same as Ireland or USA. But also, you know, I think if you're breaking down boundaries that way, you can learn an awful lot and just keep connected with the coaches that you train with. And, you know, don't be afraid that if you're starting off that if somebody else comes in on your market or on your turf, you know, it's a way of growth. You can grow together, just like you just said there. You didn't, you know, realize it was going to be three or four people in the same town, and suddenly now it's grown and prospered to 50.
Yeah.
All that will do is it'll make the whole thing more popular.
Yes.
And people become more, like you said at the top of the show, more aware. And that's really what you're trying to do, is make people, bottom line, self-aware of their own decision-making when you're a coach, you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly what we experienced. You know, I think that the competitive environment that was sort of built into living in California, that's a very competitive area. You can just feel the pressure. And the competitive nature down there was like, oh, I have a really good idea, but I almost don't want to share it with anybody because we're in competition. Whereas up here in Washington State, I mean, everybody's collaborative and it really has produced that exact result that you're talking about. And what is really great about staying close with your alumni, which I advocate as well, I say everybody should try and find some local like-minded people, but also stay close with your alumni, is that you have somebody who's kind of speaking the same quote unquote language, you know, of your training or of your industry. And that sometimes you just need that, as opposed to, you know, the it's like that the relief of, oh, you really understand me. Yay.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I think it's phenomenal. Well, tell me, actually, let me rephrase this. So you mentioned being open to taking clients from other countries. And I think that that's also super important because, again, kind of cross-referencing my own journey, I started out, you know, working with clients that I thought were all going to be local. Like I thought, oh, I'll just attract a bunch of people from California. That's where I live. And very quickly, I learned my lesson. That was not the case. The vast majority of my clients came clear from across the U.S. They were all East Coast. Okay. And I stayed kind of with that myself for a while, like a few years. I had just a ton of East Coast activity. And now most of my client base is international. Now I have England and UK and Australia and Canada. And I would have never guessed that when I started. You couldn't have convinced me of it, but it just happened quite organically. So, you know, even though you're the quote unquote big capital THE, you're the guy in Ireland, right? You're the child coach in Ireland, man.
Well,
which,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which I have to say is how I found you, because, you know, I had delivered into my email inbox, you know, a press release having to do with a little write up about you. And so you definitely are getting some press and some movement there. But, you know, I'm betting you, Connor, I'm betting you inside of 5 years, your full book of business is not only domestic, but from all over the world. Because the need is so great. And I certainly say that not, you know, to say, you know, yay you, but yes, yay you, but also to remind all other coaches that you just never know where it's going to come from. And we will be keeping our eye specifically on you, just so you know. We'll have our little vision trained in. Well, we are coming to the end of our time, and I just want to give a last little space here. Is there any final thought that you would like our coaching audience to go away with?
I suppose for me, I can't remember it. I was trying to think of it there a couple of days ago. You may have heard, I suppose, to be international, other than Guinness and leprechauns, like I said, we have a great poet called W.B. Yeats. And I remember doing a couple of poems with him when I was younger, kind of coming out of school. And there was one particular poem that one of our teachers kind of made a great line towards. And it was about, you know, something about nature and a tree. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that Yeats was trying to say that it's pretty easy. It's quite difficult, actually, to try and turn a person's decision-making or their kind of life around, or any aspect of their life, when they're, you know, that little bit older, even adulthood or even teenagers. But if you can get to the roots of the tree rather than it being twisted and going all different directions and maybe having problems along the way, that if you can get it at the root, you can certainly not only deal with the issue or the problem, but you can actually just let it prosper and grow really far, really tall, really straight. And that's what we're trying to do, I suppose. That's my kind of vision, really, just thinking of that. That's
beautiful.
You know, and I suppose, well, now it's Yeats that has the words, not me.
So, well, you latched on to the idea. I'll give you credit for that. How's that?
I don't know about that, though. But I just suppose that, you know, when thinking about doing any type of life coaching, that with children or with anybody as well, is that you're kind of going, when you're going into a person, into their instinctive kind of feelings, when they're low in confidence or when they're not sure and they need somebody just to be kind of an objective outsider to have the skills and expertise, just to not judge them, not to, I suppose, analyze them insofar as you're not giving advice. That's a huge difference, of course, between a lot of other psychologists and counseling, that
sure,
with coaching, not giving advice, but just to really kind of get to where their instinct is at. And I mean, you're really getting into the real true person. And with children, we all know that there could be tears or whatever, but with adults, remember, they're just as fragile when they're dealing with things, because no matter what it is, even if it's just, you know, a fashion coach or, as I say, a business startup, you're getting into really a person's nucleus and what they really want to do. And that's why they're hiring a coach in the first place. So it's quite a really, I suppose, noble thing to be doing, you know, so long as it's not, as you say, it's not over-marketed insofar as it's not, you're not selling something that you're not going to be able to deliver. And, you know, just look for longevity rather than this big bang business straight away, and just rather go part-time and be genuine at it, and it'll grow from there, I believe, you know.
And I consider those words of wisdom from a little tiny speck in the middle of the ocean.
Well, that's W.B. Yeats for you.
Well, with that, we are going to wrap things up for today. But Connor, a joy to have you on. We look forward to having you come back and visit us in the future. We'd love to check in with you from time to time and see how you're doing. Great work happening on A Little Emerald Isle that is reminding us that coaching and exploding in the global nature that it always is reaching every corner of the world. So with that, we'll hand things back to Vince to close us out.
And close us out, I will. Thank you for joining us today. There's more exciting conversation by Coaches for Coaches 1 week from today with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Experience ICA with over 30 hours of complimentary materials, then chart your own specific training plan at ImpactCoachingAcademy.com. And of course, join us and access the growing archive of programs at CoachingImpactRadio.com. Join us next week, same time and place, as we continue the coaching conversation. I'm Vince Hayes. Bye-bye, everyone.